Tango Tango Papa 2019, August 3rd, 2018.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Sayre, Oklahoma. So, I just came back to work a couple of days ago. I took my 5 days off, customary 5 days off, and so now I'm back at work. I had really hoped... That sounds silly. I'd really hoped that I'd done a podcast sooner than this, but, it goes back to the thing, I have to be motivated to do it. And even if I have time that I could be doing it, if the motivation's not there, the motivation just isn't there. And, what can I say? I can't really... force myself to do it. I suppose I could, but I've always had a really difficult time forcing myself to do things that that I don't feel motivated to do at the time. So, but however, I do feel motivated this evening to do a podcast, and so here I am. So, let's see. I've got some voice files from Joel. For the podcast. Actually, I've got more than I can use in this podcast. I've got what we're going to have that I'll be playing a little bit later is three voice files that he sent back. I think it was on July the 12th. And then he sent some more recent ones this past Monday. Today's Friday. He sent them several days ago. I think I'm gonna go ahead and save that, because that's about 16 minutes worth of stuff where he's talking, versus these other ones add up to probably 7 or maybe 7-8 minutes, and I have to copy these kind of in real time from Voxer by plugging in my digital Zoom recorder into the phone through a patch cable, and I have to record them in real time, and I didn't want to wait 15 more minutes before I started recording the podcast. So I'll record those and then go ahead and save them for the next podcast, and hopefully the next podcast will be a little bit sooner than 3 weeks, because I think it's been about 3 weeks or so. I don't know today. Well, maybe not quite. I guess it has been. When was the last podcast? Let me look. Let's see here. The last podcast was on the 12th of July, and this is the 3rd of August, so it's not... Well, it's not quite been 3 weeks, but it's pushing 3 weeks. So, hopefully I'll kind of get to it a little bit sooner. So, I did receive an email from Jeff, and I've already answered the email, but I'll just go ahead and answer it here in the podcast as well. Says, Tom, my sister lives in Oregon, and she told me that the gas stations are full serve. You can't pump your own gas. Are truck stops in Oregon full serve or self-serve fuel? Thanks, Jeff. So I already emailed Jeff back, and the answer is the truck stops in Oregon are self-serve. Now, I guess Oregon must be one of those states where the state has mandated that there's no self-serve pumps, and so someone actually has to come out and fill the pumps or fill fill the cars with gas or whatever. But as far as diesel fuel goes, that's all the driver has to do that. And the same is true in New Jersey, as far as I know. New Jersey is another state that requires by law that people can't pump their own gas. And so therefore, but in New Jersey, if you go to a New Jersey truck stop, as far as filling the truck up, I've got to do it. I don't know. Those are kind of silly. That seems kind of silly to me, because most people are able to pump their own gas without too much trouble. Excuse me. So, in any case, there's at least two states that do that, New Jersey and Oregon. Before I play Joel's, start playing Joel's comment and comments and responding to them, I wanted to talk a little bit about words. And, I'm sure we've all had the experience of trying to have a discussion with someone. Because I'm conservative, and I don't try to hide it. I'm conservative, and I've had the experience many times of trying to have a discussion with people on the other side, the liberal side, and it's pretty much impossible. They will not listen to reason. And so, why is that? Why is it so impossible to have a discussion? And the answer is actually pretty simple. Because, it revolves obviously around emotions. And so, there are certain words. And it's very obvious if you know what to look for. There are certain words that are just absolutely charged to the point, they're emotionally charged to the point where you can't use them. And this also extends to concepts to the point where you try to reason with someone logically and you can't reach them. It's impossible because they automatically react to the words and to the concepts represented by the words. They automatically react emotionally. They fly into a kind of a violent emotional state, and therefore it becomes impossible to reach them. And of course, when someone does that, when you fly into an emotional state, people, places, and things trigger the emotional state, then you start logic shopping, and you'll come up with just the most cockamamie logic that you can dream up in order to sort of support an illogical, emotionally driven position. And emotions run higher and higher, it really becomes impossible to it just becomes increasingly impossible to have any sort of discussion at all. So personally, I have with my parents, specifically with my mother, I will not talk politics with her anymore at all. Some once in a while I'll get kind of sucked in. But I prohibit any kind of political stuff. I shut it down immediately because it's just not going to end. I'm never going to be able to convince her of anything, and vice versa. She's not going to be able to convince me of her, kind of an emotionally supported position. And, you know, you present her with logical arguments and she just flies, you know, just flies into a rage. You know, it's just instant rage. And so it's fruitless. It's absolutely fruitless. So I have stopped engaging in any kind of discussion with if it's a person that I know to be kind of, you know, off, that will fly off the deep end and react irrationally to words, certain words, then and that extends to topics, it extends to concepts. I won't do it. And at this point, I have stopped reading Facebook comments. So I still post things to Facebook. I still, you know, I have Android devices. I also have an iPad, but I usually don't use it to share stuff with. But on Android, of course, you can share to virtually any app, especially social media type stuff. You just hit the share thing and... you know, you can share wherever. And so I share things to Facebook sometimes fairly frequently. I'll share news stories, videos, etc. I'll share it to Facebook, but I do not read the comments. Rarely do I open up Facebook and even look at anything. Whether the comments are positive or whether they're negative, I'm not going to engage in, you know, especially if it's a negative comment, I'm not going to come back and try to engage the person and reason with them, because it's a fruitless endeavor. It's a total waste of time, because people are reacting emotionally to words. And as I've said over and over and over again, emotions are a form of insanity. Emotions are a severe mental illness. Emotions do not make you human. Emotions turn you into an animal. Emotions literally block the ability they sort of cut off your frontal lobe in your brain. You know, that they can measure this with brain imaging, you know, like fMRI. And they've shown it over and over again. If you're in a severe emotional state, then your frontal lobe, where all the reasoning takes place, all the logic takes place, is cut off. And so therefore, it turns you into an animal. So emotions are a form of insanity, and they're nothing to be proud of. Of course, you know, TV shows and movies glorify emotions. They'd say, "Oh, well, our emotions—that's what makes us human. Otherwise, we'd be animals." Blah 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 blah. Sorry, it's the other way around. Emotions, rabid emotions, turn you into an animal. And that's doing the animals, saying animal, that's sort of insulting to animals, because even animals aren't human, you know, they're not nearly as vicious as human beings can be. But it is impossible to reason with someone as long as they're in an emotional state, as long as they're reacting to words emotionally. Now, of course, do you want to be that person? We all are that person to one extent or another. We are all fallen creatures, human beings. We're all fallen human beings. None of us are perfect. And so therefore, we've all been emotionalized to a certain extent, one extent or another. We use our emotions. We misuse them. In a kind of a, we're trying to play God in our own minds, as if the mental, you know, the mental thunderbolts could strike people, places, and things dead. But at some point, it's up to us. We have to mature. Now, how do you improve your mental immune system? You improve it by moving away from your emotions. You improve it by basically it's the process of meditation. You know, if you go to my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com, up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that, and I've got, I don't know, three or four files hosted on my site that you can right-click on and download. You can listen to them right on your device, burn them to, you know, download them, burn them to a CD if you want to. But it's a very simple technique that will teach you how to meditate. It's a very, very simple. It's a very simple method, and it's the idea is that you can't, instead of trying to stop your thoughts, what you can't do, you can't stop your thoughts, but you can shift your attention away from your thoughts. You know, this emotion, this meditation technique will teach you, if you're serious about it, it will teach you how that, you know, it'll prove to you that you are, whatever you are, whatever we are as human beings, we are not our thoughts. We think we're our thoughts. We're not. We have a consciousness. Our brain is largely, it's a computer. You know, and we have this unconscious thing that goes on, and you know, largely, you know, a large part of it goes on behind the scenes. You know, a lot of mathematics. If you learn how to do math, a lot of that ends up becoming automated, and you're not even conscious of it, unless you want to be. You know, we learn to do things. Like drive a vehicle or run a computer, or you know, you do learn to do things at work, and it's kind of difficult at first, but then as you learn to do something, your brain ends up sort of highly adapting to it and sort of highly automating it, so that you don't even have to be really think about doing something. You just know what to do, and that's unconscious. And so there's a large part of our brain that is unconscious. And it's sort of, you know, akin to a computer, you know, with an on states and off states. But then we also have this consciousness that computers cannot have. You know, no matter, you know, I know there are people that think that you can have artificial intelligence and that the, you know, and it makes for great science fiction. You know, where the idea where the computer can become conscious, it becomes a conscious entity, and it realizes that it, you know, its own existence. You know, and that makes for great science fiction. And great science fiction conflict and what ifs. However, it's a fantasy. So there, you know, no matter what they do, they're never going to be able to create consciousness. So we as human beings have this, whatever it is, this extra thing called consciousness. And this meditation technique, if you really learn how to do it, you can prove to yourself that you, as the point of awareness, as the point of consciousness, are not your thoughts. You can actually kind of learn to, and if you practice this meditation technique on my website successfully, you can prove to yourself that you can actually shift your attention and be aware in the moment. And in the present moment is the only thing that actually exists. There is no future. There is no past. Those are basically sort of fantasies, especially the future is sort of a fantasy. Now, you can try to predict the future, and you can sort of relive the past, but, you know, memories, but... You really want to practice being in the present conscious, in the present moment. And that is where God is. God is not in the past. God is not in the future. God is in the present moment. And, you know, so there's that meditation technique. And that will help you if you have to be serious about it. You have to want to learn how to separate from your thoughts, find your Creator in the present moment. If you are really serious about it, and you can, and it's up to you, if you find the meditation helps you, and I can't say that it's going to help everybody, but I do believe that it will help most people. If you find that it helps you, it's up to you to continue with it. It's not an instant process. You know, you have to keep trying. And, you know, but at some point, you know, I can't really say when it happened, but I just sort of disconnected from my emotions. And am I completely emotionless? I can't say that. You know, I still have, I really believe there are, you know, just kind of normal emotions, but I think those emotions are fairly well muted. And, you know, because those emotions, you could say, well, that helps you determine, you know, whether you like this or you like that. You know, that it could be argued that, you know, emotions play a part in that, and there are some people that make that argument. But, you know, because you have people that are brain damaged that can't, you know, if they're brain damaged in a certain way, then they can no longer really care whether one thing tastes this way or one thing tastes that way, you know. And so it could be, I've long made the argument that we have, you know, some natural emotions that are just sort of muted, but we end up amplifying them and misusing them, making them into something that they were never intended to be. And that's where insanity kicks in. And, you know, so if but in the present, if you can learn to, you know, kind of live in the present moment, that's where you end up with a kind of a mental immune system, as well as, I believe, it's my belief, that improves your physical immune system. And, you know, that's my, you know, I believe that, and whether it's true or not, it, you know, I believe it, but each person has to kind of come to their own conclusion. However, you know, the meditation's there on my website. I would urge you to give it a try. And as I say, if you find that it helps you, even after the first time, it's up to you to continue with it. You know, because that otherwise, you know, who wants to live in a constant state of you know, squirrel cage of thoughts? The same thoughts go around and around and around and around in a, you know, kind of a never-ending squirrel. You know, and emotions are, you know, kind of what can end up contaminating our interactions with other people. You know, so I can kind of look back on my life and see where I've, you know, the places where I've really messed up in my own, you know, and, you know, my conscience kind of tells me I really mishandled this or mishandled that, and there's plenty of them, you know, believe me, plenty of situations like that. It's because I was kind of lost in my emotions. And, you know, so emotions are deadly. Emotions are a form of insanity. And they're nothing to, you know, nothing to that I want to be near. I don't want to live in that kind of state, and I have absolutely kind of cut myself off from the news media, because it's all about, you know, stirring up your emotions, you know, keeping you in an emotional state. You know, even if they feed you false information, keeping you in just an enraged emotional state. And in that state, you can never improve. emotions prevent you from, you know, they keep you from genuine belief, for example. You know, among many other things. So, you know, they're childish things. You know, little children are emotional. We have to mature. If we're going to become adults, we have to mature as adults instead of, you know, otherwise you end up being a 30, 40, 50, or, you know, you could even be an 80-year-old or a 90-year-old and still be in your childish state. You know, it's rather ridiculous. There seems to be a lot of people like that. You know, I saw an article three days ago, 30% of so-called millennial adults are still living in mommy and daddy's, at home with mommy and daddy. That's ridiculous. Their parents should have, you know, the parents destroyed them. The parents, they're like, they're the modern version of the thalidomide baby. You know, the 30% of millennials that still live at home are the modern version of thalidomide babies. Their parents just, you know, sort of ruined them, and there's many of them that they're permanently ruined. Now, some of them, if the parents really loved their kids the way they proclaim they do, they would immediately kick them out. You know, they just say, "I'm sorry, I screwed you up, but at this point, I have to kick you out. You're out on your own. Learn how to sink or swim. It's up to you. You learn how to swim or you're going to sink, but I'm not going to save you anymore." That would be the best thing that could possibly happen to them. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and start playing Joel's comments. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Just listening to your latest. It just came out. Nope, I have not made the trip yet. I will be next week, though. I'm less than a week away. So, made some adjustments to schedules and stuff, and I have a hotel room reserved halfway in Memphis. Then on the way back, I actually got one reserved near Little Rock because we're probably going to be making a visit to one or two places on the way out on the Saturday. There is a bowling museum that my son would kind of like to go see. And if I can, I'd like to kind of go to there's a museum in Frisco, Texas called it's basically the National Video Game Museum. And it has displays from the video game crash back in the 80s all the way through current day with different game systems, computers, and things like that. And I thought that would be interesting to see. But I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to go to that or not. If I do, it probably won't be only for an hour or so, mostly because I just got to get back. And so we're going to be traveling Saturday and most of Sunday. We need to be back in town to pick up our dog on, well, we'll be a week from Monday. So it'll be an interesting trip. I've never drove that far. I have gone about 8 or 9 hours before with not a problem. I take breaks too. I just, you know, I can't drive more than 3 or 4 hours at a clip. I'm not a professional driver or anything like that. So, you know, put it this way. If I was driving by myself, I probably could do 15 hours straight with just taking breaks here and there. However, that's by myself. I'll be have my son and my wife with me. Not going to happen. So hopefully all's going well. I'll stop this one and I'll start another one because I think you might find this topic interesting. All right. So I don't know how much you've seen on Facebook or anything, but apparently, I just have to laugh how the Democratic kind of people, the liberal people are reacting to this. But Stormy Daniels danced at a strip club. Actually, it's actually kind of by my wife's work. It was here in Columbus called Sirens. And they arrested her last night. And the truth and what most people are saying here is what happened is she, as part of her routine, she touched a female police officer on the butt and on her breasts. And that's why she was arrested. And a lot of people think it's because she allowed the patrons to touch her, which is simply not true. That might have happened, but both those things are illegal. Actually, here in Columbus, you don't do that. The places that I've been when I was young, haven't been in a long time, of course. But the places I've gone that had these kinds of things, which really weren't that many, to be honest. But they. Typically, the dancers are really, really careful for what they do, and you're not allowed to do those kinds of things. So, and Avenatti is basically saying that she allowed patrons to touch her, which is not the case. It was something completely different. And people are saying, oh, it's entrapment, but yet they took two other dancers in too. And this kind of thing has actually been cracking down on this. They've actually shut bars down here in Columbus because of that kind of stuff and fights breaking out and things of that nature. So they've been kind of cracking down on this stuff. And in Columbus, it's actually been known in a couple places where a couple of these clubs have been responsible for some human trafficking too. So, just something to think about, but to me, it's just amazing the left to sit here trying to protect Stormy Daniels, which I don't know how you can do that. Anyway, take care.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. That kind of falls right in line with what I was talking about a while ago. Emotions will cause people to logic shop, and it's patently absurd. How do you defend a stripper in a strip club that the city has, the state of Ohio, maybe the city, somebody has rules that patrons do not touch the stripper, and the stripper does, obviously isn't supposed to touch anyone else, certainly a police woman. Yeah, on the rear end. That's pretty ridiculous. But of course, the news. Now, see, I knew that she was arrested because I read, I kind of read through headlines. I usually don't read stories because so many of them are. It's a lot of it's just fake news now. They just kind of make things up, and I'm sure they didn't report it properly. Even if it was reported properly locally, and nationally, it's going to get twisted, and then they tried to make it all about, oh, it's revenge or whatever. And the Stormy Daniels thing, they were trying to use that as a. Trump's involvement with her, they were trying to use that as a way of, as a sort of a wedge between Trump and Trump supporters. And it's not going to work. It didn't work. Have you heard anything about Stormy Daniels lately? No, it just kind of, that didn't work, and they discarded her, and they moved on, back to the next thing. At the present moment now, it's Paul Manafort trial, and that's not, that doesn't seem to be going very well either, So, but you know, that's, there's nothing that can get in between me as a Trump supporter and Trump. I really don't care what he did. I, you know, he is anybody perfect? Of course not. You know, and they've already, because of all of the stuff with Bush and prior, before Trump, especially with Bush, you know, and how they twisted everything he did, and he went, he would never fight back. They've pretty much made, you know, all of us are immune. And so they, the stuff that they normally would throw out, they're just aghast that they can't, they think that they can just throw this out or throw that out, and it's going to be the end of Trump. And that's been going on now for 3 years. You know, when he first, you know, was serious about running, oh, this is going to be the thing that takes him out. That was about whatever, and I don't even remember what it was. It's 3 years ago. This is going to take him out, and it didn't. And then, you know, then the next thing, and then the next thing, and then they kind of circle back and try to, you know, use the first thing. And the, in the meantime, you know, it's you see how ridiculous they are, because then they try to defend the indefensible. And their logic is just, you know, they're logic shopping. They just, they come up with the most contorted, weird, you know, reasonings that, you know, they don't make any sense. They're patently ridiculous. So they're patently absurd. So it's not surprising. And, you know, Trump survives. And, you know, they make greater and greater fools out of themselves. The real danger, especially to them, is they're jumping deeper and deeper and deeper into insanity. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you don't want to get involved with those people. You want to stay away from them. It's kind of like getting involved with the mafia. You want to, you know, you stay away from them, because they're insane. So that's why, you know, I'm not reading any, you know, if you, I've said before, you know, if you have a friend or a relative that, you know, is a, you know, let's say they're an alcoholic or whatever, and they've got whatever their bad behavior pattern is, and they just, you know, it's like drama, constant drama. Do you want to be involved in that? I don't. You know, if I have any relatives like that, I have nothing to do with them. And I do have some relatives like that, and I have zero to do with them. Don't get involved. I don't want to even know about them. you know, so it's the same way with the political stuff. It's, you know, it's just scaled up on a bigger, you know, on a different level. Any kind of family dysfunction just simply scales up, and it becomes politics. Become, you know, national politics. Becomes a political thing. So, you know, who wants to be, you know, follow the antics of dysfunctional people? I don't. And so, but the thing with Trump knows how to handle them, and it just, it's driving them insane. But they're really driving themselves insane. Trump doesn't have to do anything other than just be Trump. And it's just, it's literally driving them insane. And, you know, it sucks to be them, you know. So some of them can come out of it, but, and I don't know what percentage of it, you know, what percentages of the people that actually that are in that can kind of come, you know, snap out of the spell. But there's plenty of, you know, if once it becomes increasing, you know, just, I don't know how, I guess it's really a bottomless pit. You know, the level of absurdity that it can fall to. But some people can snap out of it, and there's been some that are, you know, they're different ones. Of course, the news media is not going to, you know, they're going to say, oh, that's fake. You know, there was a hashtag that someone came up with 2 or 3 weeks ago, just walk away, and the guy claimed he was a Democrat, and he just, the Democrat Party had become so absurd, you know, he'd just walk away. And of course, then the news media came out and said, oh, that's fake. It's AstroTurf or whatever. You know, it was a fake thing to get people to walk away from the Democrat Party. Well, you know, I think the guy was probably real, but I think it is happening. And they're never going to report it. So in the meantime, you've got the news media that's just, you know, they've got this drumbeat against Trump, just constant, and it's now to the point where they're becoming more and more outrageous. So you get the news media, and then you've got, you know, some of the, I don't know, whatever groups there are. Of course, the entertainment industry, you know, they're going insane. So, you know, what do? Just walk away from them. Have nothing to do with them. You know, by the way, there's another comment from Joel. I think it's about 2 minutes and 47 seconds that I'm going to play in a bit. But I was thinking the other day, and I realized, you know, there's really, as I've said many times before, there's nothing wrong with the concept of entertainment, per se. You know, and good entertainment should sort of, it should be a morality play, where it kind of teaches you the difference between right and wrong, sort of illustrates it. And, but a lot of, you know, the entertainment, you know, and all of this superhero, whatever, you know, these characters, even Star Trek, you know, people would watch, and I did this, I can admit it, I know this because it happened to me. The Star Trek characters sort of become your fantasy friends. You know, and you kind of know it's a fantasy, and yet you deliberately sort of engage in it. You know, and so, especially, you know, like something that's serial that just keeps going on and on. The characters in that, you know, and this really applies to the so-called superhero stuff. They become your fantasy friends, you know, and that's not healthy, really. It's best if you can just kind of pull back, you know. And if you're, I watch some entertainment. I like science fiction, you know, a lot of science fiction. There might be some good ideas in there, you know, and things that can cause you to think a little bit. If it causes you to sort of reflect on your own existence, then stuff like that can be good. But at the same time, it can be unhealthy to just, you know, constantly focus on it. Like, you know, as in some people are constantly focusing on Star Wars to the point where they buy all of the figurines and what have you. And, you know, that's the figurines especially. It's a way of sort of making, you know, having a material representation of your fantasy friends, you know, from Star Trek or whatever, you know, Star Wars. There's all kinds of Star Wars memorabilia. And it's just a way of engaging in fantasy and making the fantasy more realistic, making the fantasy more tangible. And that's not healthy. That's really unhealthy. It's best if you can learn how to just simply disconnect. Spend some time away from, you know, entertainment. I'm not saying entertainment's necessarily bad, but it is a good idea to be able to just disconnect from it. You know, I spend a fair amount of time when I'm driving, just driving. Not, you know, I might go for a few hours. I did that today. Drove for several hours without having, I didn't listen to anything, even though I had an audiobook that I could listen to that I'd already started. I went a few hours before I actually started listening to it. And I spent several hours driving today, just driving. And here I had my, you know, had my own thoughts. And, you know, I could kind of be aware of what was going on in my own head, as opposed to and sort of going on around me as and be in the moment, as opposed to being in some sort of fantasy entertainment. You know, so it's a good idea to simply be able to spend time disconnecting. Now, you know, and that's part of this meditation, you know, that I, you know, it's on my website. It's really good to be able to separate your conscious awareness, which is a separate thing, from your thoughts. We are not our thoughts. You know, and if you're trapped in your thoughts and the thoughts just go around and around and around, and then you engage in this fantasy world and engage in that fantasy world, and you know, and your whatever your favorite superhero thing is, what good is that? How does that make you a better person? How does that improve you as a human being? How does that help you make better friends with your conscience? How does that improve the relationship that you can have with your creator? So, anyway, got to go ahead and play Joel's final comment.
Hey, Tom. Joel here again. He had just talked about Stormy Daniels in the last voice message there. They just dropped the charges. I have no idea why they did that. I will tell you this. Columbus is pretty much ruled by Democrats. They have Democratic mayor, the second Democratic mayor in recent memory, and Democratic city council, Democrats at almost every level, with exception of the governorship. So, not a surprise on either case, because I know they're cracking down on strip clubs here in Ohio. The one that was on the side of town I used to live on before I moved down to where I was, you know, where I am, I should say, 20 years ago is when I moved. That one actually was shut down because of the same kind of thing. Plus, there was also things with drugs, alcohol, gang violence, opioid. They had people that died in the parking lot from opioid overdose. So all these different places have been under a lot of scrutiny. What I don't get, though, is, you know, is it okay for Stormy Daniels? And I don't get it, how the Democrats can justify staying behind her, except for the fact that she supposedly stuck Trump before he, you know, many, many years before he even ran for office, you know. That's the only way I can see that. But, you know, they're like, oh, it was a setup and blah-de-blah. And Avenatti, her lawyer, said the same thing. The only thing I could stack this up to is that her day in the spotlight with regards to Trump has been waning. And that's the only reason. That's the only reason. I'm going to be interested to see what Ben and Dana and a few of the other conservative commentators have to say about this. So, all right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, well, thank you again, Joel. And by the way, I do have, while I was recording the podcast, I went ahead and transferred Joel's other longer 15-minute, it's about 16 minutes, I guess, Voxer file to my digital recorder, and so I'll have that for the next podcast. Have that ready to go. So, like I said, the Stormy Daniels thing is kind of faded. That sort of just faded out, you know. And it's like Stormy who, you know. And so, is Trump perfect? Of course not, you know. And I think, you know, when he was, you know, this a lot of, you know, the Stormy Daniels things happened a number of years ago. And I think Trump himself has actually changed in that time. You know, not, people can change. I know there are a lot of people that think, oh, people can never change. You have people that say that some people, they just can't change. But I think they can. I think it is possible that people can repent. And but it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. You know, that's not why I voted for Donald Trump, you know, because we all knew that he kind of, you know, is kind of the billionaire playboy type of thing, and he's gone through several wives and blah-de-blah-de-blah. We all knew that before we voted for him. So he's, you know, and like I say, they've, the way they've, the way the news media has behaved in the last decade or more, they've pretty much made Trump immune from anything. And we're you know, a lot of us are just sort of immune now from the escapades of the news media. And what, you know, they try this and try that, and their stuff just doesn't work on, it works on part of the population, but it doesn't work on all of us. And, you know, there, I'd say there at least 50% of us, it just, the tactics don't work on anymore. They've, you know, it's like the boy that cried wolf too many times. So, you know, do I know what's going to happen in the future? No. However, I can say that I know there's a creator. It's not just a matter of me believing it. I know there is. And I also know that we are in, as human beings, we are in the experiment. We're not in charge of the experiment. We like to think we're in charge, but we are not in charge of the experiment. We're in the experiment. And so whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and what, you know, and it's, you know, God can do whatever he does. You know, we, you know, people talk about a sovereign God. Well, God is sovereign. He's the ultimate sovereign, and whatever he does, whatever becomes of America, whatever becomes of humanity, it's, whatever it is going to be just. Because, you know, that's just the way it is, whether we like it or not. We exist at his pleasure. People don't realize that, of course. We, as human beings, want to play God. We're so wanting, you know, to play God in our own mind. You know, that we somehow, we come into this world and we the thought sort of strikes us, well, somehow I must have created all this. No, you didn't. Yeah, you're the creation. You know, you have awareness. You've been blessed with consciousness. You've been blessed with awareness. Put it to good use. Instead of trying to imagine yourself as God. Because we all do that, to, you know, one way or another, we all fall prey to that, because the temptation is there, and, you know, that's why, you know, we have the whole concept of being born in sin. We can be saved from that, but we have to want to be saved. We have to want to know the truth, and I've come to the conclusion that most people, really, when it comes down to brass tacks, the people that I run into really don't want to know the truth. They're really not looking for the truth. They want to if anything, they want to find themselves to be the truth. They're really not looking for the truth. And it's there are people that are looking for the truth, but it's really it's you know, it's impossible to say what percentages there are. That's you know, it's not up to me. I can't say. But you have to have the want to. You know, so but my advice to people is to, you know, put your consciousness to good use. So anyhow, I think I'm going to wrap this up and see if I can get it uploaded, published, get to bed so I can get up tomorrow. And I'm on my way to Henderson, Nevada. That's a suburb of Las Vegas. So head west some more tomorrow. So anyhow, hope everyone has had a great week. The weekend is coming up tomorrow again. It's amazing how fast time passes. So in any case, I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.